commit the message to you tonight. Lord, I pray that they'll not see Steve Delay, but they'll see God. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us, Lord, as your word teaches, to draw closer to you every day. I pray that we'll leave this place different than we came. Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your spirit. Simply means control me completely with your spirit. And if you want me to say it, that I will. And if not, that I won't. And Lord, again, just bless our families, bless our church, Lord, for as we've been praying, Lord, we do pray for increase in our church. And Lord, your blessing in that area, and we want to thank you and praise you for that. I pray that you'll keep increasing us, Lord, for your glory and for your praise. Lord, again, we just commit the sermon to you now, and Lord, just work in our midst in a huge way. Even spark revival tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I need two volunteers. You know how I like how I volunteer people. Patrick, we need you, please. Let's see. Larry? That you just had a feeling, huh? So Patrick, if you'd stand over there just a little bit that way, and Larry, if you'd stand over here just a little bit. I don't like to pick on the same person all the time, so we'll let Patrick be the average American Christian, okay? He is the average American Christian. Now, key words there, okay? Average American Christian, okay? Larry over here, he's lost Larry, okay? Now, this is pretend time, okay? I know Larry loves the Lord. He's a saved person. But for purposes of tonight, Larry is a lost person. Patrick is what? Average American Christian. Lost average American Christian. Now, let me ask you the question. In this year, 2023, the year we live in, how much difference do you think there would be between the average American Christian and a lost person? Now, I know that it's kind of hard to quantify a lost person, but let's call him the average lost person, okay? He's not shooting people, but he's got a lot of whacked out ideas and doing his own thing. So how much difference do you really think there would be between the average American Christian and lost Larry over here? I would venture to say that there's not a whole lot of difference between an average American Christian and lost Larry over here. Now, is that the way it should be? Tonight, we're going to be talking about don't be afraid to be different for Jesus. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Hopefully that wasn't too painful.
He's a lot bigger than me, though.
Tonight, don't be afraid to be different for Jesus. The question I have for you now, it's easy for us to say, well, look at that average American Christian over there. Yeah, same, absolute same. But you know, if we're not careful, we can be a lot like the average American Christian. If we're not careful, even as a church, we can be an average American church. I don't think God is ever happy with average in the life of a Christian. Tonight, don't be afraid to be different for Jesus. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Remember, we're preaching through the book of Matthew. Now, as long as God has me here, we'll be preaching through the book of Matthew. I'm very much aware that it's a long book. I'm very much aware that it has lots of teachings of Jesus. I'm aware that it has lots of miracles and all that that God has done, Jesus specifically, the Son of God. And, you know, as long as God keeps me in the book, we'll keep going through it. Maybe some breaks in the middle for different things, but that's where we are right now. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now, we're going to be talking about a guy. I have to admit, he's one of my favorite characters in Scripture. You might say, preacher, I've been keeping track of it. You've already said that 17 different people in the Bible are one of your favorite Christian people. But really, John the Baptist is. I like a straight shooter. Now, not a mean straight shooter. Because I've known some Christians that are just kind of mean. And they say, well, that's just the way I am, preacher. Well, let God change you because you're not very sweet. I mean, really, I feel like saying that, but I didn't. But you know what I mean, right? But I do like people that are direct and they stand for what they believe in. John the Baptist definitely fits that bill. So listen to these verses, all right, or follow along. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat or his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come into his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So what's he really think about it? Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Remember, they're cousins. To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Tonight, title of the message, Don't Be Afraid to Be Different for Jesus. Now, I could be just plumb strange different. That's why I put in there for Jesus. I mean, I could be strange. I've known some strange people. You've probably known some strange people. And you might say, preacher, as a matter of fact, I think you're a little strange anyway. But not just to be strange. You know, I could wear some weird, huge, oversized cowboy hat all the time. And you say, no, he's a little bit different. Or I could, you know, whatever, something kind of weird. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being different for Jesus. It's amazing to me how much time we Christians take to try to fit in and conform to the world. Remember the verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2? And be not conformed to this world. There's a reason why it's in Scripture. It's because our tendency, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to be different. No, I want to just kind of be a wallflower. I kind of want to be. And we spend so much time and effort conforming to the world instead of being different for Jesus. This guy, John the Baptist, remember I had a cat named John the Baptist. Y'all remember that? Anyway, no biggie if you don't remember that. John the Baptist was not afraid to be different for Jesus. And we're going to look at several ways in which he was different. and apply it to us today. All right? You ready for that? Okay, we're probably going to have to move pretty fast. I don't talk very fast most of the time, but we'll try to get through it. All right, number one, don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in where you minister. In where you minister. Notice it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. In verse 3, for this is he is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, where would have been the natural place to go to have a following? It would have been the big city, right? He was kind of in an out-of-way place, right? In the wilderness, away from the crowd. You say, oh, that's a little bit unusual. But he wasn't afraid to be different. He wasn't trying to attract a following to himself. He was there pointing to Jesus the whole time, right? That was his ministry, preparing the way for the Lord. But it was a little bit of a, let's say, an obscure place, perhaps. You know, you say, how can you apply that where you minister? You know, God may call you to minister in some, if you will, obscure places or places that are non-spotlight places. You know, I think of a couple of ministries that most people would kind of like, I don't know if I want to do that, or a few of them. What about a prison ministry? I mean, valuable. I mean, if God wants you to do a prison ministry, don't worry about where you're ministering. Don't worry about nobody's going to see it. Just do what God has called you to do. Don't be afraid. That's right. They can't walk out on you too much. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus and where you minister. What about the homeless shelters? I mean, what about that? I'm talking about Christian home shelters. I mean, that's not exactly glorious and glamorous, don't you think? And again, I'm not belittling the people. I'm not belittling the prisoners. I'm not belittling the homeless at all. But I'm saying it's not exactly where you want to make a name for yourself. Say, hey, everybody looking at me? And they're going, I don't care who you are. Just give me my food. I'm hungry. Or just give me a lesson. I'm here in prison. I want to hear some good news. You know what I mean? It's not a glamorous position. What about pregnancy crisis centers? That's another one that's not glamorous. You see, don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid not to be big and showy, but just to be faithful. It could be a little ministry somewhere that nobody even knows about. You may have a ministry that we don't even know about. You say, well, I bake cookies for, you know, my neighbors for 10 years, and I give them out to them with a gospel tract, or I do this, or I don't just do what God wants you to do. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in where you minister. Number two, don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you say or proclaim. Now, this guy here, he was not afraid to proclaim what God told him to proclaim. You say, oh, preacher, that's John the Baptist. That doesn't even apply to me. Well, I think it does. But anyway, look at what he proclaimed. Repentance is mentioned three times in this passage. And saying in verse 2, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, repent means to change direction. Go in one direction and turn around and go the other direction. And he's saying, that's what you need to do. Now, John the Baptist's baptism was different than our baptism today. His was a baptism of repentance, pointing to Jesus. Ours is a baptism of identifying with Jesus. There is a little difference there. This is a transitional time. Jesus is on the scene. But he's saying, repent. Verse 8, it says, he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. You just need to start doing what you know to do is right. You walk one direction, turn around, go the other direction. Verse 11, the first part, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Remember, he's preparing the way for Jesus. He's saying, you guys need to recognize you're sinners and you're going the wrong direction. You need to turn around. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, but he's going to. The Messiah is there. But John the Baptist wasn't afraid to proclaim and say whatever God wanted him to say. You know, we got we got people today that stand behind what's called a pulpit or a podium. I think pulpits are a little outdated for some of these modern guys. It's got to be a little tiny, and I'm not talking about a podium like this. That's, you know, that's too outdated pulpit. You know, it's got to be a little podium or some sort, and they get up there and they're afraid to use the word repentance. You know, there's people even among some conservative people that are saying you don't have to repent to be saved. Beg your pardon? You know, you may not have to use the word. But I don't typically use the word, but you know, in the idea of admitting you're a sinner and asking God to forgive you is the idea of repentance. You're saying, I'm changing my mind about what I used to be and what I used to do, and that's sin. And we got some people saying repentance isn't even necessary. It's called easy believism. If you want the title for it, you can just pray this simple little prayer and you're saved. No, you can pray all the prayers you want to if you don't mean it from your heart. And turn your life around for Jesus with his help and his power and have the idea of repentance when you say, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And believe Jesus, you're going to die in your sins and spend it forever away from God. John the Baptist wasn't afraid to use the word repentance. As it says in verse 3, you know, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. He was preparing. He talks about judgment. Look at verse 10. And now also is the axe laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and what? Cast into the fire. He's talking about judgment. And these Sadducees and Pharisees that heard this and the other people that listened, like, whoa. I mean, goodness gracious. Surely there's no room for preaching about judgment in church. Yes, there is. I'm telling you, some people are afraid to say the word sin. I don't know what Bible they're reading. I mean, we need to hear. I need to hear that I'm a sinner. How am I ever going to draw closer to God until I recognize that I'm a sinner and God's still working on me and I'm going to get that sin out and I'm going to do my best to get that sin out with God's help? I mean, we don't need this to get together and have a pep rally. We need to get together and have a reality check sometimes. Talks about judgment in verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Talking about Jesus. And gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff which with unquenchable fire. Talking about judgment. We're talking about wheat that's real and chaff that's false. And who was the false ones here? The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders, the high priests. I mean, there were some that trusted who Jesus was as the Messiah, but by and large, and he's saying, guess what? If you're not real, you're going to burn up with unquenchable fire. I'd say you would probably say that John the Baptist was a pretty good hellfire and brimstone preacher, wouldn't you? As I said before, repentance and judgment are not, and sin and all that are not exactly popular topics in today's society. But let me tell you, if you hear a preacher, sometimes it's not what they say, it's what they don't say. You've got to make sure that your Holy Spirit antennas are up. And if all they're talking about is everything you can get from God, you know, if all they're saying is, guess what? You serve God, you won't be sick if you have enough faith. If you serve God, every one of you will have six, maybe seven-digit salaries if you have enough faith. And it's not, that's just not true. I mean, Paul would have a definite offense to that. Because remember, he spent a lot of time in jail for Jesus. But these preachers, they get up, and I don't care if he's on TBN, I don't care if he's on this channel or that channel, I don't even care if he's been someone that stood for the truth in the past. You make sure that he's standing for the truth today. Because there's a lot of people that are getting out of the Bible and getting into their own thoughts. But John the Baptist, he wasn't concerned about being different for Jesus. He wasn't afraid of it. In where he ministered, in what he said and proclaimed. Third, he wasn't afraid to be different for Jesus in what he wore. mean, I don't know. This just sounds painful to me when I read it. Camel hair? Come on. That doesn't sound very comfortable to me. Had a leather belt or a girdle. You know, that doesn't sound. You say, well, how in the world? You know what? We don't have to be afraid to be different for Jesus in what we wear. Now, I don't think probably anybody here has that problem, but I'm telling you, there's some people, they need to go back to school and learn what modesty is. I guess I won't go to too meddling, but let me tell you, there are certain things that people ought to wear, and there's certain things that people ought not wear. You see, the principle is modesty. I don't know. Some people that say, I'm a Christian parent, and they let their girls go out and wearing some of this stuff. I'm like, where is your brain? Where is your spirituality? Where is your modesty? And sometimes I see people just out in public, I'm thinking, what were you thinking? I mean, you think you look good in that? Okay, I better move on. But the point is, guess what? The point is, he wasn't afraid to stand out for Jesus. He wasn't afraid. Now, this guy was a country guy. I don't care what you say about him. He was out in the country, and he improvised, and he made do, and he wasn't afraid to be different. Don't you think the talk about town, there's a guy out there that's got on camel hair, and he's got a leather girdle belt on. But you know what? There are standards that we ought to stick to. The word standard is not a dirty word. When you want to throw out standards, you want to throw out the Word of God. I remember years ago, I went to a church. They had a comedian in. There was nothing wrong with that. He was pretty funny. We're familiar with him. If I mentioned his name, you might. But I heard the preacher get up. And after that, I went with a friend, a seminary friend of mine, to this. He invited us to come. It was enjoyable. And then the preacher got up, and he kept saying, you know what? In Christ, we have liberty. And we have liberty. He never used the word, to the best of my memory. My antennas were going up saying, whoa, we have liberty, we have freedom in Christ, but freedom in Christ without responsibility is dangerous. And let me tell you, that was one of the big churches in the area, and they went whacked out, away from scriptures. You see, we do have freedom in Christ, but not freedom to do what we want to do. We have freedom to do what God wants us to do, and that's where we're the happiest. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in where you minister. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you say or proclaim. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you wear. Number four, don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you eat. Now, I'm going to explain that. Now, listen to this guy's diet. Now, I probably just starved. I'm not sure I could eat a locust. And I wouldn't think there'd be a whole lot of meat on a locust, but anyway, or a whole lot of nourishment. But the honey, I can kind of, okay, wild honey. But it says, and his meat or his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, remember, I kind of grouping this together a little bit. Remember the angel Gabriel said to Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad, remember? He said, drink neither wine nor strong drink. So he was a little bit different in what he ate and what he didn't drink. Would you agree with that? You know, I preached a message not too long back about drinking, you know, how sinful that is. We need to stay away from that. It's nothing but trouble, devil's poison, whatever you want to call it. So he didn't do that, we find from another path. He didn't drink wine nor strong drink. But, you know, sometimes God may call you to go to places where you'll eat some strange food. The boys just recently, they had their missions conference down at Ambassador. A missions conference, it's a missions emphasis. They had, like, I think 31 different missionaries representing different mission boards that send people around the world. And the last night, they had a missions banquet in the gym. They had the table set up, and it's kind of a special thing. And they ate some, was it West Africa food? West African food. It wasn't way out, you know, whacked out. We've had that before at a missions conference before, at one we went to at another school at one time, and it was so bad nobody could eat it. I mean, you know, we're so unused to it. But other parts of the world eat some things we don't think are very good. But you know what? Those missionaries that go to these places, they sometimes eat them anyway to be part of that culture. John the Baptist wasn't afraid to be different in what he ate. Number five, there's only eight, so I'm moving through this rapidly, okay? Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you do. In verse 6, what was John the Baptist doing? It says, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. He was baptizing. They were confessing their sins, saying, I'm a sinner. Remember, preparing the way for Jesus. You don't need Jesus if you don't recognize you're a sinner. And you can't be saved until you realize you're lost. His part was to say, guess what? You're lost. And they recognized that. Pointing the way to the Messiah. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you do. A lot of people got the mistaken concept that this life is nothing more than a possessions contest. I mean, I'm gonna have the biggest, the best, the fanciest in life. I'm gonna have the most in my bank account, or the most in my retirement, or whatever. A lot of people have bought into that. A lot of Christians have bought into that. Really? It's nothing. You know, do you realize that when you breathe your last, I don't care how much money you got in the bank, it doesn't matter to you anymore. You can't take it with you. I don't care how big your nest egg is. You're not going to take it with you. It doesn't matter. Isn't it kind of goofy sometimes when people work so hard for the almighty dollar, instead of putting it to use for God's kingdom, and then they die and it's like, oh, it's gone. I mean, it's like, as I said, usually what happens is your kids just fight over it. I don't think there's anything wrong with leaving them money and not leaving them in debt and all that. I understand that. But we get our perspective mixed up, don't you think? Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus. He was baptizing people. That's a little different. He was baptizing people in a baptism of repentance. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in where you minister, in what you say or proclaim, in what you wear, in what you eat, in what you do. Number six, in what you stand against. Now, this is a big one. In what you stand against. Notice what he says here. I mean, I'm like, wow, what a guy. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the leaders in their society. Remember the Sanhedrin? The Supreme Court of Israel, of the Jews? They were loaded with people like Pharisees, or that were Sadducees and Pharisees. So these guys were the ones that walking around in the big robes, you know, and like the big cheese. This is the big guy. This is the big bosses. You know, we don't want to offend them, do we? We got to be careful because they're up in enters. John the Baptist, I don't care who you are. You see, he stood against hypocrisy. You know, these guys were religious leaders, but they were hypocrites. I mean, Jesus used some pretty choice language with them too and said, you know, hey, you're like, I believe he said it, they were like tombs that look good on the outside, but they're full of dead men's bones. In other words, you're a hypocrite. And John the Baptist says, oh, generation of vipers. Now, I can understand that because I don't like snakes. I mean, that's pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty harsh. Vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In other words, you better straighten up. You better get your act in gear. Pharisees and Sadducees, oh, generation of vipers. He's standing against hypocrisy. He's standing against sin. We need people. We need church members who will stand against sin. If I have to compromise on what God says in his Bible to get people to come to church, people just aren't going to come to church because I refuse to compromise. I refuse to not call sin, sin. I refuse just to kind of lay down and say, well, we don't want to offend people. Folks, the Bible is going to offend people. Just get over it. Just understand it. It will offend people because it's a clear black and white book And we live in a gray society, people would say. Everything's gray. Everything's just, we live in a society that says, there are no standards. It's kind of humorous when they say that, they've just made a standard of a statement. Say there are no standards. But you know what? There are standards. Denominations in our country today that once used to stand for truth, they think that what's going to help their numbers is to quit standing on the truth of God's word because they don't want to offend anybody. Again, don't use the word sin. Don't say the homosexuality is wrong. Don't say that this gender thing is ridiculous, that God only made male and female and that's it. I mean, don't say anything about that. Don't stand for life and against abortion. Don't do that. You might offend somebody. Oh my goodness gracious. I think we better start offending a few people if it means standing up for God. Not needlessly, you know what I mean? I'm not telling you to be obnoxious and overbearing to people. I'm not saying that. But the time is past already. We need to start saying what's right and what's wrong. I mean, sometimes we hear people talking about some of the goofiest stuff. I don't want to offend anybody, you know. They might think less of me. I think we're past that. I think we need to say, you know what? Don't say this is what Steve thinks, or don't say whatever your name is and this is what I think. You say, you know what? God says in his word. I mean, something's got to wake these people out of their sleep and their slumber. Seriously. We always love the people, but we always hate the sin. I mean, some people, we got to love the people, therefore we're not going to say anything against their sin. Well, you're going against Jesus, you're going against John the Baptist, you're going against Christian principles, because we're always told to stand up for what's right. I mean, remember those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? Remember Daniel? I mean, my goodness, are we so different today that we can't stand up for right? And absolutely, you might lose a few friends, but if you lost them over that, they never were true friends in the first place. And again, I want to clarify, I'm not talking about being obnoxious or knocking somebody out. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, when we're given the opportunity, who in the world is going to stand up and say, the Bible says this? I mean, our voices are getting minimalized more and more in society. I mean, I hate to almost put it this way, but in the eyes of society, the church has almost become totally irrelevant. It used to be that life revolved around church. It used to be that society backed up what the church stood for. And now it's come to the point that they don't even care what we think, because we've kept our mouths shut so long. And now we're so concerned about numbers that, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Let me tell you what. I am much more concerned about offending God than I am about offending people. And when God gives me an opportunity to open my mouth, shame on me if I keep my mouth shut, because I'm worried about what people will think, or I'm worried about the consequences. That's just not being different. Don't be afraid to be different in where you minister, in what you say or proclaim, in what you wear, in what you eat, in what you do, in what you stand against. Two more. In who you stand for. In who you stand for. Notice in verse 11, I'm convinced that John the Baptist could have been one of the biggest cult leaders in all of history if he wanted to be. I mean, really? I mean, he could have, you know, it sounds like they were just coming to him in huge masses. But unlike some of the current preachers or big shots in the Christian, in people's view, rather than taking advantage of it, like some of them have in the past, and, you know, they've amassed quite a bit of money. Some of your biggest televangelists, and I'm not grouping them all together because there's some good ones, people on television, and there's some bad ones. But if you only knew what some of those people have in their bank account and how they've taken advantage of people. John the Baptist could have been one of those guys. I mean, with that many people coming, he goes, hey, guess what, people? If you want to be part of my group, you bring all the gold you got in your homes or all the silver you got or all the money that you have, and I'll make sure that God blesses you for it. I'll say a prayer over your dollar bills or whatever. Anyway, he could have. But he knew exactly what he was there for. He knew exactly where the praise was supposed to go. He knew exactly who he was prepared the way for. It was Jesus. And notice what it says in verse. This is almost like, wow. Remember what he said at one point? I like this. It's not in this passage. But remember he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And he shows it right here. He says, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me, Jesus, the Messiah, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He'll give you the Holy Ghost that you think is a son baptism. You wait for his baptism. John the Baptist did not have to say this. But man, I see a man of humility, don't you? I see a man who knew who to stand up for. It was Jesus. Jesus. Wherever you're placed, are you standing up for Jesus? You know, Jesus is a dirty word, you know, to most people, to the people of the world. You know, you can say God, some generic God, you know, like God. God bless. I mean, it's amazing to me. I guess I might as well just say it. It's amazing to me that some of these politicians are as wicked as can be, and they have the gall to stand up at the end of their mainly full of lies saying, God bless America. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know, but God is okay, because there's some big generic God up there that, you know, the same as the Muslims and the Hindus and all the other works people. There's some generic. But if you say Jesus, now you might start making people uncomfortable. You know what I like to hear is when people pray in Jesus' name. You know, we're told to pray in Jesus' name, right? And so I love it when I hear, you know, sometimes we watch NASCAR sometimes. The boys really got into NASCAR more than we did, but it kind of drug us into it too. And we kind of like NASCAR and follow NASCAR some and all that. And when they have somebody pray at the beginning, you know, I kind of like, I'm waiting on that. Whose name you praying in? You know, you praying to some generic God. And I know that sometimes even people that are solid don't end their prayer in Jesus. But I like to hear that. You know, in Jesus' name, amen, I like that. But we got to remember who we're standing up for. It's Jesus. Jesus. And if they reject you, they're rejecting Jesus. But I know who I'm standing for. I'm standing for Jesus. And you know what? It only makes sense because that's who's going to judge us as far as our works and our service is Jesus. So I want to stand for Jesus. Last point, don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in where you minister, in what you say or proclaim, in what you wear, in what you eat, in what you do, in what you stand against, in who you stand for, and lastly, in who you submit to. Who you submit to. It actually came down in verse 13 through the end of the chapter. Jesus comes to him from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John the Baptist. Now, this was ordained by God, okay? God ordained to set this up, and Jesus was to be baptized by John the Baptist. But John the Baptist, you know, in his humble way, I believe, says, but John forbade him, verse 14, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You should be baptizing me instead of me baptizing you. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it now to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Prophecy, righteousness, what God has ordained, however you want to say it exactly, then he suffered him. In other words, he said, okay, I'll submit to whatever God's will is. Do you realize that we don't need to be afraid to be different for Jesus in who we submit to? Again, Christians sometimes get really uncomfortable when we get committed, because they feel a little bit, most people that are Christians who aren't serving God the way they should are being If they're not, they're not saved. But they're being chastened by the Lord. And when they see some other Christian, it steps it up a bit. They're like, You know, they're in their mind, they're under conviction. You know, they're under the chastening of the Lord, saying, I should be doing that too. But you know what? John the Baptist submitted his will to the Lord's will. We need to submit our will to God's will. Kind of like we talked about that this morning. Many submit to all the wrong pressures in life, right? Would you agree with that? We call it peer pressure, and we like to attribute that to teenagers and say, oh, well, teenagers give in to peer pressure. Well, they do a lot of times, but adults can do it too. They try to keep up with the Joneses. I know they had to be careful because I had Joneses in one of the churches I pastored, and, you know, you're used to saying, are you trying to keep up with the Joneses? And I had to be careful because we had a family of Joneses, and they're like, oh, not that Joneses. I mean, just in general kind of Joneses, you know. But people are trying to keep up with one another, and they're trying to, hey, folks, that's not what we're supposed to submit to. We're supposed to submit to the Lord. Don't be afraid to be different for Jesus in what you, excuse me, in where you minister and what you say or proclaim, and what you wear and what you eat and what you do and what you stand against and what you, in who you stand for and who you submit to. But I wanted to kind of wind this thing up looking at the reward of not being afraid to be different. If you look at John the Baptist, it says in verse 16, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. It's by immersion. Let's not complicate the matter, okay? It was by immersion. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Here's a great example. John the Baptist got to be witness to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Wow. What a blessing. I mean, that word almost seems too shallow for this. But not too many people got to see this. Remember, the Transfiguration was a similar thing. You know, you had, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. But here you got John the Baptist. Can you imagine baptizing Jesus? Well, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Spirit descends on him like a dove. And then here's, a booming voice from heaven. It wasn't a sissy voice. It was a booming voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It's like, wow. I mean, we believe the Trinity, we teach the Trinity, it's in Scripture, but actually be a witness? Man, I think God rewarded him pretty good for that, don't you? Also in Scripture, in Matthew 11:11, I'll just read that to you. Notice this. We're talking about the rewards of not being afraid to be different for Jesus. John the Baptist got to see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, at least their presence, okay, voice. Matthew 11:11 says, verily I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Then he does say, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So you're like, that's a little perplexing, but I really think what it is, I think he's talking about in the blessing that we have in this New Testament era with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we can do even greater things than John the Baptist. But he's commended. You know, I mean, wow. Why? Why was John the Baptist commended from of the Lord? Because he was not afraid to be different for Jesus. Man, I really think the world is looking for some genuine Christianity. And you know, the best that we're doing in a lot of cases is old average American Christian over here that really doesn't look, think, talk a whole lot different than lost Larry over here. And the world's saying, you know what, we need something. We want something real. We want something genuine. We want something that's powerful. And you know what? There's nothing much more powerful than the testimony of someone who says, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what the world says. I don't care where churches go and what they stand for anymore. I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to be different. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I started by asking you the question, basically, how different are you as a Christian from the lost, unsaved world? How different are you as a Christian than the lost, unsaved world? Let me ask you tonight, are you as different as you should be? Again, it's not different just to be different. It's different in the name of Jesus. Think about that for just a moment. Am I different than the lost, unsaved world? Should I be more different than the lost, unsaved world? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for John the Baptist, Lord, one of my favorite Bible characters. It was not afraid to be different. Lord, help us to not be afraid to be different either. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts tonight. Lord, if there's a Christian here tonight that says, you know what, God's speaking to my heart, give them the boldness to step out and come to the altar and talk to you just a little bit about it. Lord, we're all sinners saved by grace. Nobody should ever look down their nose at anybody. All we're trying to do is serve you, Lord. So if you're speaking to hearts, Lord, help some folks here to be leaders, to step out and say, you know what? God is speaking to my heart. I'm going to move. And Lord, I know you'll bless them for it. And Lord, if there's anybody here, anybody listening who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll call out to you right now. Lord, if they're here, they'll come forward as we sing here in just a moment and talk to me about it. And Lord, that from Scripture, they can be saved tonight. But Lord, if there's anybody listening in that they may, even wherever they might be, just call out to you in sincere, heartfelt prayer and ask for your forgiveness. Ask that you just wipe away the slate, all the things and sins that's been in your life that ought not be there. And Lord, that they'll call out to you in prayer and say, I believe Jesus was exactly who the Bible says he was, your son that died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I now confess Jesus as my Savior. And mean all of that from their heart. Lord, help them to do that very thing, we pray. We commit the invitation to you in Jesus' name.